Today, the volatility game continues. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We're on this post covering finance and problem news, and this is our latest market update. And you will notice that, yes, I have a cold, so my voice has dropped by probably a couple of feet. Anyway, financial markets are bracing for what could be another momentous week, with the Federal Reserve meeting, US employment data, and earnings from technology heavyweight Apple possibly setting the course for stocks and bonds over the rest of the year. So far in October, it's lived up to its reputation for volatility as a surge in treasury yields and geopolitical uncertainty has hit stocks. The S&P 500 index is down 3.5% for the month, adding to losses that have left it over 10% off in late July highs. Whether the ride remains rough for the rest of 2023 may be dependent in large part on the bond market. The Fed's higher for longer stance on interest rates and rising US fiscal worries push the benchmark 10-year treasury yield, which moves inversely to prices, to 5% earlier this month. That's the highest since 2007. Higher treasury yields are seen as a headwind for stocks, in part because they compete with equities for buyers. And it was little changed at 4.838 on Friday after crossing the 5% barrier earlier in the week. Investors worry that yields could rise further if the Fed reinforces its hawkish message at the central bank's November 1 monetary policy meeting. Strong US employment data next Friday could also be a catalyst for yields to rise if it bolsters the case for keeping rates elevated to cool the economy and to prevent inflation from rebounding. Investors are playing a waiting game for how much does each economic data point need to increase to put another rate hike on the table, said Alex McGrath, Chief Investment Officer at North End Private Wealth. Stock market rebound would follow seasonal trends, said Sam Stovall of CFRA Research. Since 1945, the S&P 500 has advanced by an average of 1.5% in November, making it the year's third best performing month, he said. More broadly, some believe the stock market's trading pattern this year points to a rebound in the fourth quarter. Hope over expectation, I would say. In the 14 instances when the S&P 500 has gained at least 10% through July and then declined in August, as it did this year, the index has increased every time over the last 4 months of the year. According to Ned Davis Research, the average gain in those instances has been 10%. Stocks appear oversold, according to technical indicators, and could rally if economic data comes in as expected, said Randy Frederick, Managing Director of Trading and Derivatives for the Schwab Center for Financial Research. And as the US stock market stumbles, Treasury borrowing is amplifying the problem with the government's substantial budget deficit. In fact, the Federal Reserve's overnight reverse repo facility, a critical liquidity indicator, has witnessed a significant decline in funds from institutional investors. The funds have dropped from $2.5 trillion in December to $1.1 trillion now. This decrease is concurrent with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ composite index edging towards correction territory and a forecast rise in Treasury debt issuance to finance an estimated federal budget deficit of, wait for it, $1.7 trillion for financial year 23, a 23% year-on-year increase. And Wall Street is also preparing for an additional $1.5 trillion in Treasury borrowing needs. In response to these developments, the Fed is anticipated to keep its policy interest rates at a 22-year high of 5.25 to 5.5%. And US underlying inflation did pick up last month, largely driven by housing costs, according to the Commerce Department's report. But with spending seen cooling off in early 2024, some economists believe the Federal Reserve is actually done raising interest rates, though risks of a rate hike do remain. But any chance of a dovish hold by the Fed went out the window after core PCE posted its largest gain in 4 months. The Federal Reserve's preferred measure of underlying inflation accelerated for that four-month period in September, and consumer spending picked up, keeping the door open to another interest rate hike in the months ahead. The core personal consumption expenditures index, which strips out the volatile food and energy components, rose 0.3% in September, and inflation-adjusted consumer spending jumped 0.4%. Resilient household demand paired with a pickup in inflation underscores momentum heading into the fourth quarter. While economists generally expect consumer spending to slow in the coming months, Fed officials have warned that strong data could lead them to keep tightening. The data suggests that the Fed needs to remain on guard for somewhat higher core inflation prints before the end of the year, said Omar Sharif, the president of Inflation Insights LLC. And indeed, it seems that there are some upside risks ahead in the fourth quarter. That said, policymakers are widely expected to leave the benchmark interest rate unchanged at their meeting next week, and a rapid surge in borrowing costs, the 10-year Treasury yields surpassed 5% for the first time in 16 years earlier this week, as I discussed, that may contribute to the Fed's cautiousness. One key area of concern for officials is services sector prices, which rose by 0.5%. That's the most since January. Excluding housing and energy, services inflation accelerated to 0.4% from 0.1% in the prior month, and spending was driven by both goods and services, including on cars, prescription drugs, and international travel. The most important support for household spending is the strength of the labour market, which at the moment remains healthy. But other factors, like a record surge in household wealth coming into this year and lingering pandemic-era savings, have played a part as well. So while wages and salaries rose 0.4%, real disposable income fell for a third straight month. As a result, consumers have been saving less to support their spending. The savings rate fell to 3.4%, that's the lowest this year, and that may raise concerns about America's ability to keep spending at such a pace through to the end of the year. Many consumers actually continue to live well beyond their means. Separate data out earlier this week show that economic growth accelerated to a knockout 4.9% annualized pace in the third quarter, fueled by the strongest consumer spending since 2021. Friday's report, though, offers insight into the potential durability of the underlying trend in consumer spending. This quarter, forecasts estimate a growth of just 0.7%, thanks to annualized growth in part due to the growing toll of high borrowing costs on households as they struggle to finance big ticket items. Other factors, including the resumption of student loan payments and the war in the Middle East, could also stifle growth. Bank of America strategist said that despite unexpectedly strong third quarter US growth, a slowdown in the fourth is still possible and makes a soft landing more likely than no landing. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.12%, the S&P 500 lost 0.48%, and the Nasdaq Composite added 0.38%. Shares of Amazon advanced nearly 7% after beating sales estimates, while Intel jumped more than 9% after the chipmaker signaled personal computer market rebounds from a quarter-long slump. Chevron, though, fell 6.7% after the oil major reported a drop in third-quarter profit. Oil prices rose as investors priced in fears of an escalation of conflict in the Middle East, which could disrupt oil supplies. Israeli air and ground forces are stepping up operations in the Gaza Strip. And oil ended one of its most volatile weeks for the year with a 3% loss as traders race from one headline to another on the Middle East conflict that brought warring parties, Israel and Hamas, no closer to a solution, despite intense mediation by the United States and other global powers. It's a mess, in one word, John Cudliffe, partner at New York energy hedge fund Again Capital, said, referring to the war. No oil trader, I can tell you, knows where this thing is heading, and everyone is just racing from headline to another. It's a field day for volatility traders, though, he said. New York traded West Texas Intermediate, or WTI, crude for December, settled Friday's session at 85.16, up 2.34%, and the US crude benchmark has been on a yo-yo travel over the past 4 days, rising 2% or more in one session to promptly give that back on the next. For the week, the WTI finished up 3.6%, and UK origin Brent crude for December delivery settled at $90.10, up 2.85% for the week. The global crude benchmark showed a drop of nearly 2%. Spot gold and gold futures surged higher this month as tough macro and geopolitical environments drove the appeal of safe haven investments. Spot gold prices shot up by more than 6% in the past 30 days as tough macroeconomic and geopolitical circumstances highlighted by risks of treasury yields, the Israeli-Hamas war, and US debt turmoil all increased the appeal of safe haven assets. Meanwhile, gold futures crossed the $2,000 mark on Thursday for the first time in 2 months, and on Friday, it was at 2016. Now, the MSCI's all-country equity gauge fell 0.22%. It had previously gained after news on Thursday that the US economy expanded at a faster rate for almost 2 years in the third quarter, while the European Central Bank also held interest rates steady at a record high of 4% on Thursday, although President Christine Lagarde signalled after the decision that further monetary tightening was possible. European shares dipped to near 7 months lows on Friday and clocked a second weekly loss, with France's blue chip index leading the way down. In currency markets, the euro was steady at 1.056 per dollar, now almost 40% down compared with the last 3 months. The Stoxx Europe 600 index fell by 0.84% to close at 429.58, and similar losses were seen across the French CAC 40, the FTSE 100, and the German DAX, which declined by 1.28%, 0.86%, and 0.33% respectively. Among the biggest losers were Sanofi, after it scrapped its 2025 profit forecast, and Electrolux AB. On the flip side, Siemens Energy and Sweco saw their shares rise. In the UK, the major international bank NatWest Group led the decline with an 11.56% drop in its shares, and other companies that contributed to the index's slide included Lloyds Bank Group. Despite the overall downward trend, some companies managed to post gains on Friday. Diversified business services company Rentacol PLC recorded the largest increase with a 3.59% rise in its shares, but of course off from recent lows. And other firms that saw a boost included precious metals firm Fresno and gambling industries business Flutter Entertainment. In currency markets, both the pound and the euro strengthened against the dollar on Friday and rising by 0.19% and 0.29% respectively. And in the bond market, yields fell as investors sought safety in government debt. The yield on the 10-year gilt dropped to 4.592, while the yield on the German 10-year bund decreased to 2.813. Most Asian stocks rose on Friday, with technology shares recovering a measure of steep losses this week as Treasury yields eased, although some regional indices were still headed for weekly losses, driven by uncertainty over the Middle East situation, rising yields, plus anticipation of a series of major central bank meetings next week. South Korea's KOSPI rose 0.16% on Friday, but was among the worst performers of the week, down 2.7%, as heavyweight tech stocks logged steep declines. And losses in Japan tech stocks put the Nikkei 225 on a 1% decline, even as the index rebounded 1.38% on Friday. Data showed inflation in Tokyo grew more than expected in October, pointing to a resurgence in nationwide inflation and potentially drawing a more hawkish tilt from the Bank of Japan when it meets this coming Tuesday. And Hong Kong's Hang Seng was among the best performers, rising 2.14% on Friday and staying on course for a mild positive week, but the index is still trading close to an 11-month low hit earlier in October. India's Nifty 50 index fell for six consecutive sessions, but the Nifty was the worst performer in Asia this week, down 3.5% on its heavy tech exposure. China shares were among the better weekly performers on stimulus hopes. China's Shanghai Composite Index rose 0.99%, and were among the better performers in Asia this week after the government announced a massive bond issuance to spur local economic growth. Data on Friday also showed that Chinese industrial profits improved slightly in September, but were still down 9% so far this year. China's efforts this week to put a floor under its tumbling stock market have eased market concerns about a potential implosion of an estimated $27 billion US of snowball structured products and other forms of leveraged bets. Markets rallied after State Fund Central Hygiene Investment started buying exchange-traded funds, and the government approved extra sovereign borrowing to stimulate a frail economy. Snowball is a distinct and popular Chinese market derivative that offers bond-like coupons to investors as long as underlying assets in the product trade are within a specific range. It gained popularity in 2021 as the pandemic and the weak economy forced brokerages and investors to get into innovative structure products, betting on market volatility. A snowball typically has a knock-in level, and brokers need to liquidate their hedges, which are usually long positions in stock index futures, if the stock market falls to that level. Now, in Australia, a surprise late-week lift wasn't enough to prevent the ASX closing out its second straight week of losses on Friday. The ASX 200 ended Friday's session 0.2% higher, at 6,826, shrugging off a weak overnight lead from Wall Street after the latest GDP report showed the US economy was still running hot. The All Ordinaries also gained 0.2%. Consumer staples were the best performing, up 1.3%, buoyed by a gain in Coles to 1529 and a 3.5% rise in Endeavour to 502. Despite the last day gains, the benchmark still ended the week about 1.1% lower after hitting the 11-month low on Thursday. And the benchmark has entered five of the past 6 weeks in the red. Sentiment worsened this week after consumer price data came in hotter than expected on Wednesday, raising bets that the Reserve Bank of Australia would indeed need to increase the cash rate at its November meeting. The RBA is concerned that if inflation stays above its target band for longer than it is already forecasting, then it will boost long-term inflation expectations, make it even harder to get inflation back to target, AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver said in a note on Friday. Resilient inflation figures were also present in Australia's Producer Price Index, released on Friday, which rose 1.8% in September compared to the previous quarter and 3.8% in the last 12 months. The ABS said higher prices for construction, petrol, electricity and gas were compounded by broad-based price increases in services, particularly health and childcare services. As with CPI inflation, annual producer price inflation is trending down but remains too high, Mr. Oliver said. The ASX tech sector ended Friday's session 0.8% lower, and in company news, global gold mine Newmont made its debut on the ASX following its acquisition of Newcrescent. The dual-listed shares ended their first day at $59.50. Harvey Norman gained 4.8% to $3.72 after the retailer revealed a planned $442 million share buyback. Earlier that day, the white goods and home retailer said its pre-tax profit had halved in July to September after sales momentum deteriorated faster than the market expected. Brambles dropped 5.7% to $13.19 after reaffirming its full-year guidance, but adding that volumes in its pallet business had continued to decline in the September quarter. Champion Iron was the best performing stock on the benchmark on Friday, up 6.9% to $6.94. Goldman Sachs and Macquarie analysts recently upgraded their price targets for the miner. And ResMed was 4% lower at $21.56. Higher costs in the September quarter have further squeezed the health tech's gross margins. The banks were mostly high, with CBA up 0.82%, NAB up 0.71%, ANZ up 0.24%, and Westpac up 0.49%. But Macquarie was down to 160.62, and that's down 0.48%. The Aussie was a little higher at 63.37 to the US and at 52.25 against the UK pound. And finally, despite the news that Kraken has been withdrawn from some platforms, Bitcoin was at 34.115. Down just a little, driven by sentiment mainly, in my view. So you can expect this volatility to continue for some time. We are pretty much unanchored at the moment, and the next week or two will be quite critical. I think there is a good chance that the Fed may have to lift rates higher. But more importantly, if the Reserve Bank in Australia doesn't lift when it meets on Melbourne Cup Day, then it's been got to by the political class, as I've discussed in my post yesterday. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.